that's what you say.
Amen.
It's been a while since I've been here. And the old me could think of 100,000 reasons why I could have stayed home. Got lazy, didn't want to travel. Last night when I was home, Gina and I were talking, and she said, I hate you have to go by yourself. I said, well, I love being at church. I just hate to drive. So the Lord blessed me to get here today, and I feel good. Felt great. Got to Gary's house. Had a great time. And now I told Gary my mind was blank, and it's still blank. But we'll see
what we're going to give you what you need, my brother.
I had a moment today with Gary. Had a good moment, and I walked in, see Brother Jack, and walked in the nursing home, and was walking down the aisles, and they had had a mask on, and goggles on my eyes, and I'm walking down there, and I felt out of place. And a thought came to my mind, and when Jack asked for prayer, it just kind of lifted it, the whole,
amen.
It just lifted it up. That I knew why I was there. But when we were walking out, what was going through my mind was, why is it like this? You know, why is there this going on? You know, why do we suffer? Why do we have such a hard time? And those are just questions that were running through me. I didn't say anything to Gary, but it was just running through me. I'm going to read in John today, chapter 9, and kind of hopefully we could go on a question about, I don't know about you, brethren, but I know I do. I question a lot of things in life. I question, you know, why can't it just be perfect? I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in everything. And I truly believe. But it ain't quite perfect. If you start with me in chapter 9, it says, and as Jesus passed by and saw a man which is blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I just want y'all to recollect on that a minute. Sure. How many times have you asked yourself that very same question? You know, how many times have things happened in your life? And I know me, I said, you know, why me, Lord? You know, why? I believe. And I believe in you totally 100%. And why isn't it smooth sailing?
Right.
Why is it hard? You know, these disciples walked with Jesus daily. And here they are trying to decide, well, why is this man blind? Why was he born blind? You know, is it his sin or is it the parents' sins? And that's the deep question that you ask a lot of times in your life. You know, sin came from where? Where did it come from? So you got to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
Sure.
And the sin came from there. I thought about that a lot today when after Gary and I left, and I was thinking about things, you know. I said, you know, we're not in the Garden of Eden. We're out of the Garden of Eden. It was perfect in the Garden of Eden. Everything was good. It was so good that God said it's good.
Yeah.
And very good.
And that's what he did.
So if God says it was good, it was so wonderful, and man failed in the garden, so we're out. And you can go on to redemption. You talk about redemption, but what I want to talk about is what Jesus said. Because it's amazing what he said. Because here, we start seeing the power of the Almighty God. You know, it's amazing to me that we are the children of the most wonderful God, but yet we have to go through hard times to see it. You know, I said, you know, and then there's that why again, you know. Why can't it just be I see him, you know? You know, when is the time that you come closest to God? When do you get to that point in your life that you've got to stop what you're doing and settle back and get close to God because you feel a need to be with him? Most of the times in my life is when I'm in trouble. Because what we do is when life is good, everything is smooth, everything is going wonderful, everything is beautiful, we don't take time to thank God for the beauty that's all around us. You know, how many times in your life when everything was so wonderful, you say, thank you, God. You know, and this Father in heaven that I'm talking about, all he desires of us is honor and praise him. But yet we have to go on about thinking that what we did and how wonderful life is and how beautiful it is and about how terrible things are over there, and we don't take a moment. So God says, well, maybe I need to slow you down a little bit. You know, our biggest enemy, Brother Gary and I talk about, is this old body.
Sure.
You know, the warfare that we're in is not what most people think in the world. The warfare is in here. There's a fight that we have. You know, and that fight carries and never leaves you alone. You know, even in my most comfortable times, you know, I tell people this all the time. I said, you know, I believe. I told you I believe. And I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe. Now, God, help my unbelief. Because what we do in our life is we'll ask God to take care of a situation. And we'll say, God, I'm leaving it in your hands. I'm laying it all out to you. Take care of it, but I want it fixed this way. You see, we want to fix things the way we want it. These disciples walked by, and I felt that, Gary, when we was looking at those people laid in the beds. I had that moment that I felt. And you say, you know, God. You know. But then when you go in there, and he lifted his hand up.
Yeah.
And he reached, he knew me. He knew who I was. I had a mask on, and God, but he knew who I was exactly. And Robert and reached that hand out and prayed. This is the next part. Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. He goes further. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He said, you know, so all this is about the power of Almighty God. You see how wonderful it is when you start realizing the power of this God that we have. Gary went through this long list of those people that were praying, that prayed for, you know. There is our power that we have in prayer. What's amazing about that power in prayer is, and I tell this all the time, and I believe it all by heart, that when God's people come together in one mind, in one accord, and pray earnestly to this God in heaven, there is strength in the power of the congregation. It's not, I have a prayer list, and my prayer list at home has gotten so long that we had company over the other day, and Jeannie wanted me to say the blessing. Said you have to kind of cut down on that prayer list, you know, because you start naming all these names, you know. And I said the blessing, and I said I'm not saying the prayer list today, but God knows who it is because it's too long, you know. That's the power that we have, that we pray for one another. I hope you're praying for us up here, that these, the preachers, and I'm praying for you. You know, so Jesus said, I want to show you the power of God. You see, I could go on here and go through all this and show you what Jesus did. But what took place is Jesus was there and said, I must work the works of him who sent me. You see, Jesus wasn't taking on. He said, the man that sent me to show you. You know, and then I thought about this. I said, a lot of times in our life, we have to come to this point in our life where things get so dark and so gloomy that we have to be shut down to what we're doing, to stop, to realize who is taking care of things. You see, because we like to think that we're in charge. We like to think that we have everything under control. You know, we like to think that we're modern man with our computers and all this stuff that we have. We're in control of the entire world. That's what we like to think. But the truth of the matter is, we're not.
No.
Who's in control? Set it in place in the very beginning. And he set it in a motion that was so perfect that from the first day to right now, it's moving exactly as he spoke it.
And that's on.
I tell people all along, I said, if you have any question about a God, go outside, turn the lights off, and stand in your backyard on a clear night and look up in the sky. And see what you see. You will see the majesty of the God the Father in heaven that had laid this out. And what's so wonderful about this, and I never thought about this, I'm an engineer by what I did for a living. I'm retired now. This orbit that we're in, this planet that goes around the sun, is not a perfect eclipse around the sun. The moon that goes around us is not a perfect circle around us. Sometimes the moon's closer to us or further away. You know, think about this for a moment. Just take time to think about it. Mankind cannot do that.
Amen.
Man has no ability to make something circle one another in an orbit that is not even laid out. And it's long on one end and short on the other. And think about it. I've had people ask, I said, how do you know there's a God? I said, I know there's a God because I saw that sun come up this morning.
Amen.
And it came up just like it did yesterday. And what's great, wonderful about it, Lord willing, it'll come up tomorrow just like it did today. And what's amazing about all that, I live on the coast. I said, I can tell you what time it's going to be high tide 1,000 years from now, Lord willing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How constant is that? What is constant in your life that is that constant? When you take something that's irregular, out of orbit, out of this, and out of that, and it all works. This is the God that I'm talking about right here that Jesus is talking about. In your life, when you're out of orbit and you're all messed up and everything's messed up, God shows you his power.
Amen.
At the time of your life, when you need it the most. You know, that's what I love about the God that I'm talking about. I get carried away in the world and I can go and have a great time and everything's wonderful and I really don't think about God. But you let the things get tough. You let times when your heart is heavy and the tears in your life and you question everything about your life. Why me, God? What did I ever do? That's even greater than what I just said is the fact that why me, God? What did I ever do? That God so loved us.
Amen.
That he sent his only begotten Son. Even though we did not deserve it.
Right.
You know, there's not a one of us that deserve what God did.
No.
So with our imperfect life, and our illness, and our hatred, and our bitterness, and our backbiting, and all these things that we're capable of, because I'm telling you, we can be cruel. We can be very savage. With all that going on, God looked down and sent his only begotten Son. To cover a debt that we can't pay. Not only that, what's even greater than that I love about reading the Bible is God himself said I remember your sins no more. How wonderful is that? So why do you carry them around with you all the time? I have people tell me all the time, you know, if I'd have done this different, if I went back, if I'd do this, I'd have changed that. I said, what's wrong with you? The Father in heaven says, I don't remember them no more. Why are you bringing them up?
Yeah.
You know, what's important in your life, what's important in what you, well, who you are and what you do is from this moment on. Because God the Father has taken care of everything. There is nothing that He hasn't covered. I'll tell you what better than that. When you're going the wrong way, this is what I love about the God that I'm talking about. When you're doing it purposely, going the wrong way, He's already made a way out before you even get down in there. Because He loved us. Not because we deserved it.
No.
We don't deserve it. We don't deserve one single blessing. You know, so Jesus said, let's go that a little further. And He said, the Father in heaven, you see the power who He is. I must work the works of the one who sent me. You know, and that is really and truly our job today. That we have a job to do. Works. And I'm not talking about works for eternal salvation. God the Father has blessed us and opened your eyes to see Jesus for who He really is. You know, I tell people this, I'll say it 100 times. I grew up knowing of Jesus. There's a lot of people in this country today that know of Jesus. And they're taught Jesus. But when you know Jesus, and that is a difference in knowing of. You see, when Jesus touches your heart and moves you to a direction, and I've heard people talk about being born again and how they have this great experience about being born again. I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. When Jesus reveals Himself to you, you are born again. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You know, people actually said, were you born again? You know, I said, well, I like to think I was, you know. And they said, well, what happened to you to be born again? I said, you know, some people, you know, have some sort of experience. But I guarantee you that the born again come out of something that was going on in your life that was upside down. Because in our dead alien state that we know of Jesus, that we can go about and quote Bible words and do all those things, but we don't know Jesus. When we get to a point in our life that our life changes, and then you finally get down on your knees and you fall on your knees and you start praying earnestly and those tears running down your face because you now realize who Jesus is.
Yeah.
When I felt that, the next thing I felt was condemned.
Yeah.
Because then I realized who I was.
Right.
You know, when you know who Jesus is, you automatically know who you are. And you know how much sin and how much evil is in your heart. So I felt condemned. And once you get in that condemned state, you know, how can I be happy? Realizing that I spent half of my life or two-thirds of my life doing the work of Satan. And now that I see Jesus for who He is, I realize who I am. A sinner. And then what took place on Calvary starts to grow even bigger. What took place on Calvary starts to manifest itself into your beauty. Because I used to think it was terrible. I used to think, how can anybody do that to a man? But then when you start realizing how wonderful that was. That he came and gave his life for my sins, and your transgressions. What a wonderful Father we have in heaven.
Amen.
That the cross now is not just something that I see that I just walk by, you know. The cross means so much more to me now because I see Jesus on that cross. And then when you realize, go a little further than that, when they nailed him to that cross, how terrible. I've had people tell me that he was God so he didn't feel pain.
Huh.
Let me tell you something. He was a man. He felt that pain. That was your pain and your agony that he took. And when they whipped him, that blood, that was your. So, and when they took him down, and how wonderful this God that we have is. Well, he was on the cross. On the cross. He looked out and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do.
Right.
You know? How many times in ignorance have we gone the wrong way? Just pure ignorance because we made up our mind that we're right and you're wrong. You see? And we can take, and if you don't think that ain't so, you take a look at this country today. This country is so divided over what they think is right, what they think is right, and they're so divided among one another, they can't see the simple truth of the matter. You see, we've gotten that way in this land today. We're so divided. And the only thing that's going to bring us back together is not the federal government. It's not the Republican Party. It's not the Democratic Party. It's we've got to come back to the center of our life, and it needs to be made God. And when we get back to the center of our life, that we're focusing on God, you see, what's amazing about that is when you focus on God, everything else becomes incidental. You see? Everything else is just this. You see, we've got to go back to looking to God for everything. You know? Well, people say, well, that's crazy. I said, it ain't going to change until this country, this world, starts looking back to the Father of Heaven. Well, then you got all these religious scholars that are going to tell you in Revelations this has got to take place. And that, you know, I watched one on TV the other day. And forgive me, Gary, I couldn't help but watch it. Now, I'm not a scholar on Revelations. So I will get this out up front. I don't understand Revelations. I understand some here and there that Lord bless you, but I don't understand it. But they had this lined out where this great battle was going to take place. And they tell me in that they said that oh, this side of the mountain is going to be God's people. And on that side of the mountain is going to be Satan's people. And there's going to be one final battle. And when that takes place, whichever one wins is going to have the world, you see. Now, I don't have a PhD in Bible study, but I know better than that. Because, first of all, Satan cannot go toe-to-toe with the God that I'm preaching about. It ain't a battle. Secondly, I can tell you this beyond a shadow of doubt. Satan's been tried, he's been convicted, and he's been condemned. And the only thing left is the lake of fire.
Right.
And when God says it's time, it's time. It's over.
No.
So, what power does Satan have over you and I? None. Not one bit. So why do we let him bother us so? The only thing he wants to do is take away your joy because he can't take anything else from you. He can't take your life. He can't, you know. So we have that much power. Why do we have that much power? Because of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So we've got to take this power that we have to resist this evil That's the bondness. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay? So people want to draw all kind of lines on this. You know, he's not here. He's up in heaven. You know, he's here every day. He's with you every day. He said, I'll never leave you. Never forsake you. What's so amazing about that, he even went a little further and said, I am going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you one that's going to comfort you in your time of need. You see? How wonderful is that? So when you get downhearted and you get to the point in your life that you just don't know what ends up, the comforter is there. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And he says, I must go, but I'm going to send someone to teach you, comfort you. So, where is he at now? He's at the throne. And what's amazing about that is I have this vision in my mind. I don't know if y'all do it. I have this vision in my mind. And he says, that brother, he's one of mine, you give him to me. He's one of mine, you give him to me, Father. You know, a lot of times I used to think that if God could see me and what I'm doing now, he wouldn't be very happy. You know, and that worried me. See, I think a little different, you know. I actually sometimes think that I'm not pleasing God, you know, and that I'm doing these things that I shouldn't be doing, you know, and I want to do better. I see. And then he lays these stuff on me that I know your thoughts before you think it. Have you ever thought about something that just come out of the blue sky? That just, why did I think that? You know? And then I started realizing the power in the blood. You see, there's power in the blood. See, that blood that was shed for you and I, that blood covered your sin. So when God the Father looks down at this little body here running around making himself a big fool, he doesn't see that. Because all those sins and transgressions are covered in the blood, and he sees only the purity of his Son, Jesus Christ. Then I go, wow. Okay. And then it tells me that I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm not a stepchild. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Doesn't that make you feel good? The world will not have anything we do that, Brother Jamie, that I tell you I'm joint heirs. The world will not be part of that. The world will tell you, you know, the world wants to tell you that you have to do this to get into eternal salvation. You have to do that to get into eternal salvation. That's what the world wants to tell you to do. And then we go out and tell them that by the grace of God, you're one of his. Period. See, the world don't want to have a part of that. They talk about grace, but they put conditions on it. I don't want a conditional grace. I want the free grace. You know? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt who I am. I'm Adam by nature. I am a sinner. I know all this. And I try to do better. I try to do good. I don't always, because I'm telling you, I fall short of the mark. And the flesh gets over me. You know? But I can tell you one thing. The Father in heaven made it perfect. Because in the Bible, in the beginning, he said it was all good. It was very good. So I'm going to go all the way back to the first book of the Bible and lean on that. If God's in it, it's perfect. So I got questions. Don't get me wrong, but I got questions. But don't get me wrong, but I got this that I hang on to. If God's in it, it's perfect. This world is perfect if God is in it. Our problem is, we're too much like these disciples are here saying, Father, why is there cancer? Why is there diseases? Why is all this going on? And I told this church at home the other day, I said, first of all, we are not in the Garden of Eden. We are not in the Promised Land. This is not our home. We are just passing through here. Where our home is on the other side. And when we get there, you'll say, it's perfect.
Yeah, amen.
It's perfect.
Amen.
I used to have this in my early years of ministry, say, when I get to heaven, if I ever get there, I'm going to see Moses and ask him these questions. Hmm. And I'm going to see all these prophets and I'm going to ask these questions. You know, but this book right here tells you something different. For when you get there and you see Jesus, you'll know it all. They won't need you because the only thing you want to do is sing praises to the Almighty Father in heaven. So, that's why we sing praises here. Now, because what we try to create here is a little glimpse of what's up there. A little glimpse. This is why we come here. I used to tell people I like to come here to get my blessings. I said, you know, what we come here for is to honor and praise God. If you're here for anything other than to honor and praise God, stay home. Don't come. We don't have any agenda. We don't have nothing on the agenda that we got to do but honor and praise God. Because we know, because God has lifted up your eyes to see, your ears to hear, and given you a heart to love what He has done. And what's amazing about all that, if we don't honor and praise Him, He understands. He took care of us. The least we could do is to give Him all the honor and all the praise. The least we could do. You know, I really have a hard time praying sometimes. Because I don't know what to pray for. You know, the Bible says we do not know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. But it's the effort. You know, I've heard people say, well, I can't sing. You know, I said, if you come here to sing, to let anybody hear you sing, you're in the wrong place. We come here to sing unto God.
Amen.
You know, that's what I like about singing, unto God. I can't carry a note at all, but I'm telling you, I do love to sing. Because it's a time that you can come in and release something inside of you. You know, I said, God the Father, God, He knows what your voice is. Mostly He knows what your heart is. So Jesus said, I must work. I've got things I've got to do. You know what's so amazing about all this? He healed this man. Heal this man. He will heal you and I. You know, a lot of times we think the healing power is that we could run a foot race or but you know what? The healing power that I'm talking about is I take what condition I'm in and I do the very best I can with what God has laid upon me and move that down. Hold on to that. Jesus came here for a specific purpose at a specific time to do something. And He accomplished it and He finished it. He said, Father, it's finished. You know, so don't let anybody try to fool you. There's something else going to be going on. I'm telling you right now, when God says it's over, it's over. Now, one thing before I close. I heard people say that Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Okay? And I have misspoken on this particular point or two in my life, but it come to me about 2 or 3 months ago. Think about this for a moment. God created 6 days, on the seventh day He rest. Okay? This rest that God is in, on Monday morning He didn't go back to work. He's resting. He's in His rest. The only rest that Jesus is calling you to come into is to God's rest. You see, that's where you go when you come into God's house. You're coming into His rest. You see, because when we left the garden, we had a curse put on us. And it was that we would work by the sweat of our brow. Jesus Christ said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And He's talking about God's rest. And there's no more peaceful rest in your life than you'll have when you come in and you sit down and you feel the hand of God wrapping around you and you sit down and you come to rest in God's love. You see, that's what we're here for this rest. Because this is the only place we're going to get it. Because I guarantee you, you're not going to get God's rest out those doors. So, did we set aside a place for God to come into? No. No, we didn't. God set aside a place. So we should honor and cherish a place that God has set aside to come in and sit down and enjoy God's rest. You see, that makes me feel good. That when I come into a place that I can feel God's rest. Because the curse of the sweat of my brow is there till I die. There ain't no rest. But if I come to God's rest and see God's place, that gives me the courage and strength to go back and sweat and carry on. How wonderful a God is that we have a place. Now we've got to hold on to this place. We've got to keep this place. God won't leave it. If it fails, it's because we left. It's amazing to me. You know, God says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. If you don't see God, it ain't because He left. It's because you left. Think about it. I want to go to this place where I get His rest. And He said, I built all these little places. These little mansions all around. You go and enter into my rest. Makes me feel good to think that I can come to Virginia and get to the rest, just like I can in South Carolina and get the rest, which I can get in Ohio and get the rest. The same rest. God said, it's there for you. Jesus done the work that the Father sent Him to do. So by honoring and praising God, we enter into the rest. And I'm telling you, we so need the rest. Because this is where your batteries get recharged. This is where the courage and the strength to go out there and pour that sweat off your forehead one more time. One more day, Father. One more day. Thank you for your kind attention. If you say anything, if you use the blessing, give God all the credit.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that washes away the wretched
Good evening. The Lord is good. I was thinking coming up the mountain today that I've come full circle. When I started here 20 years ago, I didn't have glasses. Well, I've had surgery. I don't have glasses now except for my readers. So the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. I appreciate your preaching that's gone before. I've got several things on my mind. I'm so glad to see you and so glad to be here. The saints in Danville, Virginia send their love and encourage you to keep pushing on.
Thank you, brother.
Build your houses while you're in captivity and dwell in them. Plant your vineyards and partake of them. In whatever city you're in, seek peace in that city, the old Bible tells us. So we know, like Brother Robert said, this is not our home. But we know that the Lord is in it. I've got heaven on my mind tonight. The word heaven in the Bible dictionary means, I think it's a good example, an enduring communion with God.
That's
good.
That's pretty good. Because we know that in the Old Testament there was a type of heaven when he communed with the people of God and gave them laws, and them only. Them old Levitical laws didn't apply to the heathen, just to his people. And in the New Testament age, we know that the kingdom of God, Jesus says, doesn't come with observation. It's not here it is or there it is. It's in your heart.
Amen.
John the Baptist said the kingdom of God is at hand. So there's another continuing communion with God.
Amen.
Psalm 17:15 that I love. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. That's what you're going to take with you when you leave here. That's the kingdom of God in your heart now, that when your body dies, it goes directly to heaven. So aren't we already in communion with God? Absolutely. His people are. I think Isaiah said in about Isaiah 45 that his words would be like the dew dropping from heaven. You know what? If that dew lands on a piece of wood that's dead, it's not going to get anything out of it. But if that grass is parched, but the roots are still living, it will come back to life when the Lord speaks to it. Now, the Lord can raise the dead, but I'm talking about us and the state that we get in from time to time. Hebrews chapter 10 is where I want to start with just a few things upon your mind. Brother Ronald has served the time well, and I don't want to take nothing away. I'm so glad to be here. I can't hardly stand it. I love the Lord, and I know that He loves me right now. It's no doubt in my mind. Because it's no doubt in my mind. Gay and I just celebrated 50 years anniversary. I left my home. My grand Elliot was there, and Katie, and drove up the mountain thinking of them. When I saw you all, I was joy in my heart. See Sister Pat getting around? Lord, if anybody knew what Ralph and Pat done for this sinner, if I had $1 million, I couldn't pay them back for what they've done for me.
Amen.
I come here and Brother Gary called me, checking on me. Wonderful day. Mountains are beautiful. No storms to fight yet. Rainstorms. I kept thinking about heaven. Maybe it's because my daughter's mother-in-law was in the emergency room with her last night. She had a stroke, and the Lord may not be far from coming for her. So what's on my mind, a few words tonight, children of God, is what Paul calls to the church at Corinth, paradise, the third heaven, where God's throne is.
Yeah.
The heaven that Jesus prayed, our Father, which art. Very important word. That's a very important word. Not are. Stick with the King James. I've been saying it 20 years.
Amen,
brother. I'm 69. If I live to be 89, I'm going to keep saying, our Father which art. That's a memorial. Art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That's what I got on my mind. But it's something I've just got to say. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. He told Peter, Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elias. Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah.
Yeah.
For flesh and blood has revealed this unto thee.
Right.
No. I give to thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and vice versa. Then he says this. Get thee behind me, Satan. Whoa!
Yeah.
What strong words coming from our Savior. Lord, why would you bring that to our attention? That makes me shake. The Lord had told Peter what is going to befall him. And Peter said, no, not you, Lord, no. We're here. No, it can't happen to you.
Right.
Jesus wasn't calling Peter safe. But Jesus said it, so it's worth mentioning. Get thee behind me, Satan. So when we look upward tonight, that's what's on my mind. Satan, get behind me, that I'll forget my family, that I'll forget you, and I'll center on the Lord. He told Peter, he told Satan, thou savorest not the things of God, but thou savorest the things of men. You're an offense to me. That's powerful words. I use it a lot. I use it a lot. If Jesus says it, we can use it. Robert mentioned Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's the words of Jesus. But he also said, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, don't we need that today? I got a compliment the other day. My granddaughter, Emily, is in second year at Liberty, and she bought some kind of dress, and I heard Gay evidently asking Gay what it looked like. She said, Emily, it looks good, but don't let Papa see it. Well, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Because the Lord teaches us to do what's right and decent. Now the world is telling our children, just do what feels good. Get thee behind me, Satan. So I want to talk about heaven. The third heaven. The place where God's throne is. You know I ain't got enough sense to even start this, Brother Robert. You know that. So you need, and I'm not going to. I promise you, I'm not going to wear you out. I'm just glad to be here. Because I believe in miracles. I told Brother John and Brother Gary, went to the eye doctor Thursday, and he said, James, how are you? I said, I've seen a miracle. He said, well, I didn't know I'd done that good. I said, well, you and the Lord did. Since I was 50 years old, I've had glasses, Coke bottle on this side. And I said, Dr. Mincy, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the conception of the church, to make a prophet true or to prove his authority, you had to see the miracle in John chapter 9, the blind. You had to see it with your eye. Now that died with the apostles, not miracles. Miracles, you're a miracle sitting here. Why is anybody here?
Exactly right.
This young man that I met for the Tom Pitney's grandson. Tom Pitney's my boy. That's what we say in Danville, Virginia. That's my boy right there. Yeah, and I don't know. We see here, children of God, that the Lord is so good. Sometimes it's just hard to fathom. Out of his mouth. So I'm afraid to go into this. So I read what the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't leave that word the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Poor Brother Terry, I've heard about your sickness. Didn't lead you to lose no weight at all. I can tell you he's got thin. Sister Pat, the troubles and trials, Brother Jack, it goes on and on and on. The afflictions have always been here. They'll always be here. But the Lord has illuminated us. He's lighted us with His love and His joy and put hope in our hearts to make us push over the good fight. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by the reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became champions of them that were so used. But you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Here it is. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance.
Amen.
We sometimes think that heaven is just a la-la land, that heaven in immortal glory where the throne of God is just something mystical, I'm telling you. The Apostle Paul is telling us here that this is a substance in heaven. And it's an enduring substance.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Your endurance, you know, the preservation of the saints, perseverance of the saints, perseverance. Hold out to the end if you want to be saved. That foolishness that if we don't hold on, we might be up and might be going down.
Right.
I got something better for you than that. Your endurance one day is going to fear. It's going to fall. It's going to fall, I'm telling you. And when it fails, we can remember that the Apostle Paul says we have a place in heaven that's more than just a la-la land. It's an endurance. What do we know about it? What do we know about it? Literally. I know some of this applies to the church kingdom too, but I want to look just at just heaven and immortal glory, where God's throne is. How could that be? Well, I'll tell you, in Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel gives us a little hint into heaven. He goes to Mary, he goes to Elizabeth and Zechariah, the mother and father of John the Baptist. He said, I'm sent here from God to tell you. God has heard your prayer. God is in heaven that hears your prayers. That prayer was made, no doubt, when they were young, just got married. 60 or 80 years later. Gabriel says, the Lord has heard your prayer, Zechariah. There's no time with God. Oh, no. Well, how could we have children like Abraham and Sarah? We're old. How can that be? Gabriel says, I stand in the presence of God. They're standing in heaven. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I told y'all I don't have enough sense to even. But I know one thing. Gabriel shows up many a times. And in Acts chapter 7, the deacon Stephen confirms this. As they pelted his body and he died, Stephen does this. All the heavens are opened up and I see Jesus standing.
Uh-huh.
What was he standing at? I know Job said he's going to stand on the earth, and we know that he did. But Stephen looked and saw a vision in heaven, and Jesus was standing. That was sitting on the right hand of God. Oh, what a glorious thought. Is that literal? I don't know exactly how it is, but I know it's a place of substance. It's a place of substance. It's an enduring substance. John says, there's no light there. There's no day, there's no night, there's no sun, there's no moon. All that we need is there. John said, maybe Revelation 5 or 7, I saw a number that no man can number. And in Revelation chapter 5, it said, they were singing, thou art worthy. They're singing in heaven. Now we sung here today, but they're singing in heaven. I don't know how that is. But John saw the vision of it. Oh, I saw a number. The 24 elders bowed down to his feet. Thou art worthy. The preaching, that preaching, old Baptist preaching there. Thou art worthy, O God. For thou wast slain. Thou wast slain. And redeemed us to God. Singing in heaven. Heaven has got a substance to it. I know all this applies somewhat to here too. I understand that. But I want to just glimpse a little bit in there.
Sure.
I was going to turn to all these texts, but I couldn't find them anywhere. I'm just trying to think. I quit trying to be all that I thought I was because I figured I ain't.
That's pretty good.
Never have been.
That's right.
Yeah, if I'd found out about 20 years ago, I'd been a lot better off. John gives us another glimpse and says, I heard harpers harping with their harps. If you think that's a mechanical harp, you need to look a little closer.
Amen.
It gives me a picture of just peace and joy all over heaven with the untold number of young, old, every color, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Well, I got a problem for you, Mr. Armenian. There's tongues that have died out that we don't even know their language anymore. How can you reach them with the spoken word? But the Lord says to John that he heard those people out of every tongue, even the old tongues and dialects that have long been lost. John would say, the harpists, harping with their harps. It's a place of rejoicing. The question is asked of John, who are these people? Sir, thou knowest. I'll get you close, look it up when you get home. It's in the book of Revelation. These are they that come through a great tribulation, and they have washed their robes. Mm-hmm. That's elect all through the centuries that just kept on washing. That's what we're doing tonight. And the world says, why bother? Why go? Nobody's coming. The preacher says, I hope the preachers will come. I hope somebody will come. Why bother? We need to wash our robes. We need to feed our mind and our heart. We need to keep pushing on and show our young ones that this is worth hanging on to.
Amen.
These are they that have washed their robes. Come through a great tribulation. Now in Revelation chapter 1 it said, and he has cleansed us with his blood. I understand that. The Lord's blood cleansed us. But these are the saints of God, the elect of God. And it said that they washed their robes. Am I right on that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Brother Robert was talking about. A rejoicing of no end. There's no end to it. Oh, how could we imagine it? And the last one I'd like to bring to your attention. There's rest in heaven.
Amen.
Sometimes people think rest is just a nothingness. You know, like, oh, it's a great thing. When you get old, you just want a restful night's sleep. You got your family on your mind, your grandchildren on your mind, your neighbors. You know, if you let your light so shine, it's going to come back to you.
Amen.
Everybody in the neighborhood thinks I'm just an old fella. You know, hey, Jamie. That's what Jesus says, do. Let your light shine. You would be surprised at people that you're affecting. About Isaiah 57, I think it is, it said this, good men are, let me turn to it. Turn the oven off, because keep it on warm, because I'm just about finished. Isaiah 57. Verse 1, very familiar scripture. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. I thought about it last night when I saw Sister Diane, and that all the many times I visited the sick in the hospitals, the sufferings, you know, the only rest, the only hope, multitude of millions of dollars can be spent. Poor Brother Matt, when I served Amelia Church, was a young, strong boy, and the disease attacked him for many years. He was just, who knows what they have endured. He was taken away from that. He was taken away from that. He says the righteous perish and good men are taken away. But we need to consider what's happened now. Is it just a nothingness? No. We know better than that. It's got a substance to it. I'm telling you right now, children of God. If you think maybe you're a bike rider like me, maybe you're a musician, or maybe you'll play golf. Well, I guarantee you, you play that while you're here, because it won't be in paradise. But it's an enduring substance, and it's a real place. I'm not telling you people are standing around looking at one another. I'm just telling you what Stephen saw. I'm just telling you what Gabriel said. God is on his throne. I stand just to do his bid. And I'm sent by him. The God of heaven still sends his angels to you. May not be Gabriel, but look around you. My dear mother-in-law has failed several times. She just when I cut her grass on Saturday. Come here, Jamie, let's talk about the Bible. And she just loves me to talk to her. And I love to talk to her. I'm thinking, Lord, why can't I feel like this on Sunday morning? What happened? She said, I got to tell you this, Jamie. I said, tell me. I'm not making up stories. I'm telling you, this is real.
Amen.
I'm pushing towards 70. And I've been trying to believe this for 50 years. I'm telling you, it's worth believing, and it's worth re-believing, and it's worth memorizing, it's worth following, and it's worth getting up tomorrow and doing it all over again, because the Lord's got an enduring substance here. But there's something better than that when we leave this earth.
Amen.
When these righteous men and women, the body, the disease takes them. Something that's a place with enduring substance. I've been telling her, Granny, don't go down them steps. Y'all may have heard the old story that as we get older, we get more humble. That ain't true. Granny, it's no reason for you to go down them steps. Now, we're going to come up here. She's fell down them twice. Gaze, Mama. She told me, said, Jamie, I went down the steps last week to get some clothes. I said, okay. She said, when I was coming back up the steps, I lost my balance. And she started crying and said, I felt something push me in my back. I said, the Lord sent you an angel. He sent Zechariah and Elizabeth one.
Absolutely.
How many times, if we were aware, had the Lord blessed us unaware with His miracles, it would be hard to fathom.
Amen.
That's the reason we're here. That's the reason we can ride all these miles. The Lord is good. It says that they are. But then I went on and told her, I said, Granny, look. I know. I said, well, let me remind you. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's Danville, Virginia talk.
There you go.
That ain't Richmond talk. Maybe not Ohio talk. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the same Lord that said, get thee behind me, Satan, says, I'm coming for you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back for you. I'm not sending nobody else. I'm coming back for you. In Revelation chapter, the last chapter of Revelation, when he talks about the rest again, it says, and they shall see his face. Oh, yeah. How can you beat that? That's hard to beat. And they shall see his face. And everything's going to be all right. And everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
And you're going to know your mom and daddy too. You're going to know them with the same love you remember them now. I've said this 10,000 times. One more won't hurt. I don't miss my mama's body. I miss her love. And that was Jesus to start with. That's what I thought was her. It wasn't her. It was Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what died and went back to the Father. Now my mama, I know how she looked. And I know of her kindness and her hard work like many of you. But I'm telling you, that's not what I miss now. But I still miss her. And that's a little glimpse of how we'll know one another in heaven.
I agree. Amen.
Because it's a substance to it. It's a substance to it. Many men taken away. So, Granny, the Lord's coming for you. She just swelled up with tears. You know, when your body gets weak, it will humble you.
Amen.
It'll take a lot of that self-pride away from you. Apostle Paul said, it was good that I was afflicted. That's figure that one out. I'm not saying affliction is good and diseases are certainly not good. But I'm telling you, when we're down, we ain't got but nowhere to look at that up. The righteous man perisheth that no man layeth at the heart. And merciful men are taken away. None consider that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. We all think I'm telling you that we're going to be walking around in heaven wondering where we ought to go next. That's not what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you in my weak mind is heaven and immortal glory has a substance to it. And it's not just disembodied spirits roaming around. No, that's not it. and they shall see his face. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. You know what that's talking about?
Yeah.
Think about it. The Lord will gather me up. That's what it means. You know what that means? David said, oh Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Moses said, just let me look into Canaan's land. They have an enduring substance in heaven. I thank you very much for your kind attention. I'm afraid to hope I didn't hurt. May the Lord bless you. Hope you have a wonderful night. Pray for me. And hope to see y'all again tomorrow. Lord bless you. Thank you.
When we all get to heaven, whatever number that is,
Four twenty-eight.